Now I want you to see some things. We're locked out, so I can't do anything. Our God has given us an admonishment from the very beginning when we talk about the Lord's Supper. What is an admonishment? First of all, it warns or reprimands someone firmly. Okay? It advises or it urges someone earnestly, or it warns someone of something to be avoided. Now, if you are a guest in our church, the table that we have here is not my table, it's not Pam's table, it is not New Harvest's table, it is the Lord's table. And the only thing that is required for you to be a part of this is to have a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, because it belongs to Him. He did for you and me what we could not do on our own. And it says, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. Had the pleasure yesterday to preach at a church about the anointing oil. And it was so amazing. The guys that just never really understood, because it was a men's ministry, about the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we anoint with oil? And we've said, you know, in the bottle that we anoint people, it's not magical, it's not mystical, it's the message behind the oil that is what is most important for you and me. Now, again, God admonishes us certain things to do, okay, when we take the Lord's Supper. So in 1 Corinthians 11, 27 and 29, it says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. You know, a lot of people in today's churches are offended when you mention sin. Well, sin's a real deal. Sin separates us from God. Okay? So sin is a reality. Sin, no doubt, was taken, you know, from the works of the cross. Sin was handled, but it's our part, our portion today, to confess the sin that we do and to repent from the sin that we do. And when we do, our Lord looks at us to go, it's okay, just move on from there. Repentance is stop doing what you're doing and turn around and go the other way. Nobody in this building's perfect. Don't mean to step on anybody's toes, okay? But no one here is perfect. Bible says, no, not even one. And the Bible tells us that we've all sinned and we have fallen short of the glory of God. How many sins does it keep or does it take to keep you out of heaven? One. Well, we've done it. And without Christ, you and I would not have the accessibility to even think about coming and going and standing in front of God. So it says, if we eat or drink what we're going to do today in an unworthy manner, you will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But a man must examine himself. Now, hear this. I don't need to come to you to tell you that you're doing something wrong. Okay? I don't. You know if you're doing something wrong. You know because the Holy Spirit comes in your heart to go, you shouldn't be doing this. Okay? Now, the Bible says confess your sins one to another. There's a reason that we do that, because there is strength in numbers. Okay? Are you guys cold or are you warm? You okay? Why do I ever ask that question, okay? Why do I ask it? I'm cold. I'm hot. Dolores, you need to ask them, is it too loud or too soft, okay? Yeah, okay. But it says, but a man must examine himself, and in doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. You are the ones that need to sit down with the Lord today. You are the ones that need to talk to the Lord today. And you, which I know that you know, if you're doing some things wrong, you need to stand in front of God today to go, I did this and this and this and this and this, and I want you to forgive me, and I will stop doing that. Amen. And then you move on from there. It says, for he who eats and drinks judgment to himself. This is not a game. The anointing that you and I have talked about for the last month, it's not a game. It's a sacred act. This, what we do today, represents the blood of Jesus Christ. There are some benefits because of the blood. The bread that we're going to take today represents the body of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, without the body, you and I would be in trouble because our body couldn't do what he accomplished on that cross. So it says, for he who eats and drinks judgment, not to the person to your right, not to the person to your left, but it drinks, I mean, you would bring judgment upon yourself if he doesn't judge the body rightly. Well, what's rightly? It's in the book. It's not what you feel. It's not based upon emotions. It's based upon the Word of God. Now, here is what's really important. Because you and I don't judge ourselves rightly, for this reason and this reason alone, many people are weak, many people are sick, and it says many people sleep. It says many people have died because we do not judge ourselves rightly in front of the Lord. Now, it says, but if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord. You don't want to be disciplined by the world. You don't want to live by the law, because if you live by the law, you will die by the law. Okay? So it says, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. You and I don't have to live like the world. We don't have to act like the world. One of the greatest things about the table, you know, in this cup that you will have in just a little bit, it says that it's a new covenant. You and I have had the pleasure to live under a new covenant, and the people in the Old Testament didn't do that, didn't have the right to do that because Christ had not yet come. Now, again, admonishment. The Lord is trying to tell you and I today, in a way, he wants to warn us. I think for some of us, he wants to reprimand us firmly to go, guys, you're not taking this serious. I think he wants to advise and urge us in a very earnest way to go, when you come and take this table from this day forward, I want you to understand how sacred this table really is. And I think for some, he wants to warn us in such a way that you don't even come to this table till you take care of some business that you need to take care of. Some of us have done things that have been wrong. And some of us have done things to people that are wrong. And I know that if you seek forgiveness, God will give you the forgiveness. But the Bible also talks about how it's important for us to go to our brothers and sisters and talk to them to go, I offended you. Now, there's something totally different between going, I apologize. See, an apology is something almost to the effect that you go, you know, Pete, I apologize. I really didn't do anything wrong. But, you know, to make you feel better, I apologize. You and I should never apologize to anybody, but we should come to them and go, Pete, forgive me, because I've hurt you and I've never meant to do that. See, that humbles yourself. And the Bible says if we would humble ourselves and seek the face of God, then and only then would he heal the land. Only when I humble myself before God, and if I've offended Peter, that I ask for forgiveness, would that truly help the relationship and clean the slate? So it's important for us, and God wants you to understand how important this is. 1 Corinthians 11:23. It says, "For I receive from the Lord that which I also deliver to you." I am telling you guys that what I'm going to do today, we have sat down over 20 years in this church, but what I give you today has been given over the last 4,000 years to other people. It is important. The book of Romans in 15:4 says, "For whatever was written in the earlier times," whatever was written before, whatever was written in the Old Testament. People will tell you today that we don't live under the Old Testament, and you are correct. We do not live under the Old Testament, but we do live under the New Testament. But the Old Testament is just as important to us because everything from the old points us to the new. Everything from the Old Testament points us to Christ. And if you could look at your book that you brought in today, there is one golden thread that runs from the first page of Genesis to the last page of Revelations, and it ties this book together. Every page in this book is important because it says it was written in earlier times and it was written for our instructions. Amen. So that through perseverance and encouragement of what? The scripture, that you and I might have hope. Dwight, I know that they might be. Would you like turn that up? I am about to freeze. You know, when my head gets cold now, because I ain't got no hair on it, I am cold. I mean, I'm looking at the wine. It's about ready to freeze up here, okay? Now, in 1 Corinthians, it says, "For I receive from the Lord." The Greek definition of the word betrayed. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed." Now, if someone betrays you, how do you respond? We won't take them out. I mean, we do. Let's get serious. You hurt me, I want to hurt you. It's just the way it is, you know? Oh, I don't feel that. No, you are lying. Someone cuts you off, you wish you had that button on your steering wheel to go, and they're gone. We want that. But on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, I'm telling you, church, if we could get one of those buttons inside it in this church, we'd pay cash for that building. But it says on that night, but it says the Greek definition means to be handed over. On that night, when he was betrayed by his best friend, he was literally handed over by the evil one. It means to be delivered. He was delivered in the hands of the evil one. And one of the words that bothered me, he was abandoned. He was left to be all alone. And all of his disciples, they all went in a different direction. The Bible says they were like sheep. They were scattered. You and I can sit back today to go, I just can't believe it. That. No, we do it every day. Amen. We abandon him. We deliver him. We hand him over through our actions. The church, on the night in which he was betrayed, he didn't take. He gave. And how are we ever going to be in a position to serve all the people that come to the new church if you and I don't get in a position that we give? And I'm not talking about giving of your money. Now, we need the money, okay? We don't, well, let me go back. We don't need the money, okay? God's going to supply the money, okay? We sold that piece of property. We sold the other piece of property. God has supplied the money, and I'm telling you in here that God is going to give us another donor that's going to drop a large sum of cash in this building. Here's one of the neat things. A lot of you knew her. Miss Glover's with us today. We go back 28 years now, I think. But she has come. But Annie Francis was the lady that gave us $87,500. Well, you know, that $87,500 that she gave to us had been turned into almost $900,000. Amen. And you think that we don't have a God that's going to take care of us? Amen. You know, am I worried about the payments that we're going to have to pay? Not one iota am I worried about it. Because our God has supplied, our God will supply, and the Bible says that God will meet every need that you and I have in our life. Amen? But here's what I want you to understand. The reason why we did this, and Pam, come on up. We're going to do things just a little different today. Pastor D, I want you to take a piece of bread. No, just sit yourself. I'm serving you today. And here's this, okay? This is my son-in-law, and I'm going to serve you today. You cooking next week, I'm just telling you. Well, you don't have to cook. You can just go buy it. I don't care. I mean, you know. But here's what I want us to do today, just with this group. I want you guys to understand on the very night that Christ went out and he got betrayed, he gave. And I've asked all of our leadership to set up front today. And I want you to understand that it's my privilege, it's my honor, Pete, to serve you. It is my honor as a pastor of this church to be the least of the least so that you would know how important you are to the entire church. Right. And I want you to take that piece of bread that Christ gave to all of us. I want you to eat it, and then I want you to wash it down with that, which is a new covenant that means that Pete doesn't have to live like the world. Connie, you have been a blessing to us from day one that you've been here. Even though you wouldn't return my phone call last night, it was okay. All right, I still love you. It was your birthday, and I know you were having fun. And you picked up the phone, and when it's Pastor, I'm not talking to him, okay? But anyhow, that's a piece of bread. It's the body of Christ.
I forgive you.
You forgive me, right? Okay. I'm trying to make this a sacred act, but it ain't going there right now.
Amen.
But truly, it's his body and it's his blood.
Amen.
And I want you to drink that.
Amen.
Lori, you have been a blessing to this church. This is my daughter, you know. She has been here. I always said, if you hire your family, they'll never stab you in the back. They might stab you in the stomach because you'll see it coming, but they'll never stab you in the back. But, honey, I love you, and we couldn't do what we do without you. Ryan, you've allowed us to take your wife. I mean, she's my daughter. I had her first, okay? But she's married to you. She belongs to you, and it's been a blessing. And we couldn't do what we did without you giving us that opportunity. Pastor D, you have blessed this church in ways that we cannot even imagine. So you guys take right now, eat of the bread and drink the wine. And I want you to know how precious you are to this church.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Serve the second row. Now, Pam's going to serve the second row, okay? Now, here's what I want you to understand in the midst of where we're going. First of all, if you're new at church, we never do the same thing twice, okay? We just don't. But it says, for I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you. Pam is giving this to you guys today. But it says, I also delivered to you that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. I mean, he took the bread and he broke it. And what I want you to understand is this. Go ahead and serve the next row. But it said that this is my body, which I am giving to you. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. One of the greatest things about this is that it's his body, Mike, and I know that you know that. Mike worked as a worship pastor in our church for a long time. Cindy was his cohort in the midst of this. They blessed our church. But what you and I have got to do, it says, in remembrance of him. Amen. What are we are supposed to remember? What he did for you and what he did for me. Mike, Cindy, y'all are blessings to us. You know, you pray for us. You take care of us. You know, Paul and Nellie, you guys are blessings to us. You know, I mean, it's just, y'all are awesome people to this church. Martha, you are such a blessing. And we get to joke with Martha all the time. We have to be sensitive because Gil is overseas now and he is serving his country to keep us safe.
Amen.
Amen. You are a blessing to us. I mean, you cut cake, you know, but you know, here's the thing. You come in this room on Sunday morning, and if the cake isn't cut, people go, hey, what's up, man? Where's the cake? I mean, we've had people want to leave church because the cake ain't cut, you know, and you cut the cake. It's small. It is trivial, but it is important. And Lucy is such a blessing to us. So you guys take and you eat and you drink and remember what God has done for you.
Amen.
Through this process. So take, eat, and drink. I know y'all are going, gosh, he is crazy today. It says, but Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them. If you and I are going to move forward, Cliff and Cindy, you guys have been a blessing to us. Y'all have done things for us. There's never a time that I've ever called Cliff that Cliff hasn't said, well, Pastor, I'll come over and help you. Sometimes he doesn't answer his phone because he knows I'm calling, you know. Or Cindy will go, it's Pastor. He'll go, just don't answer, okay? But no, he has never refused. You know, Alex, you're a blessing to this church. I want you to understand where you came from. I want you to know where you are today, and I want you to know how you got here.
Amen.
It's because what God has done for you. Amen. Mike and Cindy. Mike, what's your name? You know, everybody needs it. Man. No, hold off. But Carol and Mike are a blessing. And, you know, Carolyn, you and your hubby have blessed Pam and I in ways that we can't imagine. And you guys candidly have been through hell and back. You know, Dwight has been assaulted by the evil one for years. And I got to tell you that if you ever want to be lifted up, I don't care where you are or what you're going through, go sit down with a man who's absolutely being assaulted by Satan, and you will get a smile. You will get love. You don't get someone crying in their milk. You know, he is such a blessing, and he started this ministry, this journey of hope, because it's a journey. And Larry and Jackie, you guys have been such a blessing to us. You have served this church repeatedly, year after year after year. So you guys take and you eat and you drink and do it in remembrance of all that Christ has done for you.
Amen.
Now, everybody else in this church has served. I mean, y'all all have taken different roles. Some of you haven't served yet, but I'm telling you today that you do need to serve the Lord. But don't do it for me. Do it for him. Do it because of what Christ has done for you. But the thing that's important through the message, it says, But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them. There are people in this church that I'm going to tell you are a smooth pain in the backside. Okay? I just going to tell you, it's just where it is. You know, they're a pain. You know, and I teased Dustin when he was getting in the ministry. I said, the ministry's great, as long as you don't have to deal with the people, you know. But, you know, you and I have to look past what people do to us. You know, we are all servants of the Lord. Everybody in this room is a servant. If you have prayed to receive Christ, you have been called by God, and you have not been called by God to sit your backside on the seat. You have been called by God, as the scripture says, get up and go. What's it mean? It means that you are to go and make disciples. You are to go and teach. You have a job to do. If it means clean the bathrooms, we clean the bathrooms. The other day, someone said, you know, the ladies' bathroom has stopped up. We're going to put a sign on it. I went, okay, what's wrong with it? Well, and they told me what was wrong with it. I said, get me the plunger. Went in and plunged it. I am not too good to clean a bathroom. Yeah. And I got to tell you, everybody in this room might be called on to clean bathrooms. You might be called on to weed the garden. You might be called on to pull weeds out. I don't know, but you don't do it for me. You do it for God. And we've got to get to the place, no matter where we are in life, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. So if you have been given the elements, in there is a piece of bread. It represents the body that God has given to you. If you have the juice that represents the blood, you take it right now. You eat the body, you drink the juice, and do it in remembrance of what God has done for you. Amen. Go ahead. Amen. In Matthew, it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And then it says, amen, which means we agree. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Church, I want you to understand that that building, on the day that we open that building, is going to be packed. But the second Sunday is the most important Sunday because it has to be packed. But it begins with us. It begins with everyone that's in this room, where we are mentally in our minds, where we are spiritually in our lives. You know, some people right now are picking up a cup. All that means that you've drank out of it. But see, they don't care because we're here to serve the church. And if we're here to serve the church, then the church needs to go out and serve the community. There are people in this world today that are hurting. But if you and I can't get it right here, we're not going to get it right over there. And if you don't get it right over there, you're not going to get it right out in the community, and God's not going to bless us. Amen. When you come to church, you might want fast music, which I do. We've got people that go, I really want it slow. We got people that go, oh my gosh, it's too loud. We got people go, man, it's not loud enough. But you see, if you come to church on Sunday, and you understand that maybe Dolores isn't playing it the way you want it, here's the newsflash. It ain't about you. It is all about us coming into church. And it's about worshiping the God of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. You might come from a Baptist background or a Lutheran background, where somebody raises their hands. It might make you uncomfortable. But here's the news flash on that. If you're closing your eyes and worshiping God, you won't see them raise their hands. But what's important in the midst of this, it says, but if you do not forgive others, he's not going to forgive you. And I got to tell you, church, we all fall short of the glory of God. And God wants us. You know, I have never in my life so much wanted for a church to be of one accord. I want us one accord in unity. I want us one accord in prayer. I want us one accord in everything that we do. Because just like in the upper room, it said on that day after they prayed and they were of one accord, the Holy Spirit fell. And I'm telling you, I want the Holy Spirit to fall in this church. I was telling Miss Glover about Phyllis. She knew Phyllis and Phyllis's husband because they were at the other church. And I shared yesterday about the anointing oil. The anointing oil makes people nervous. It's like, oh, y'all one of those kind. Yeah, we are a Christian church that operates off the precepts of God's word. If God says it, we believe it. If he says don't do it, we try with all of our heart and soul not to do it. If we don't understand it, it doesn't change it. We go forward. We just do what God wants.
Amen.
But we anointed Phyllis with oil. And Phyllis gave her testimony 2 weeks ago. She said, I went and had my CAT scan, and I am cancer free. But you see, if you're holding resentment, if you're holding unforgiveness, if your life is not where it needs to be, you are going to have blessing blockers in your life. And we don't want blessing blockers. Will I offend you at some point in time? Yes. Not on purpose, but I will. You know, will you offend me? Yes. And then I'm going to talk to you about it so you know. But in all honesty, we're not perfect people. And if we get to that place, the Bible tells us, I'm not going to forgive you, Keith, if you don't forgive them. And you and I got to get to a place to humble ourselves. In 1 Corinthians says, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. So if somebody has an issue or if somebody has doubts, it's in the book. But it says that he died according to the Scriptures and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day. Amen. According to the Scripture.
Amen.
Well, you know, if you and I sit back and go, wow, he was raised on the third day, how great is that? Now look at Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him, do we want the Spirit to fall?
Amen.
Do we want the Spirit in our life? But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, whoop, he dwells in your nasty self. But look at the rest. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
Amen.
Give God a hand clap of praise. You know, we're afraid of the Spirit. We're afraid of the anointing. Cindy Hall gave me that book about anointing. I mean, I'm telling you, it has radicalized my life. It is so awesome to see, but it's so awesome to stand in front of this church to go, the Scripture said on the third day, my God who was brought into that tomb dead, D-E-A-D, dead. They carried him in that tomb, but on the third day, he walked out of that tomb. He didn't need no help. He just come out of that tomb, and he was alive. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that has raised your ugly self from the dead. And the neat thing about it is he dwells. He has set up habitation church in you and me. You think you're nothing? You can't be nothing when the God of all gods and the Lord of all lords and the Spirit dwells in your body. Now, Galatians 2:20 said, I've been crucified. Okay, let's ask the question. Have you really been crucified? Because if you have been crucified, you no longer live. See, that means you don't get to do what you want to do. That means that he is your Lord and he tells you what to do, when to do, and how to do. See, it's pretty easy for us, man. And, you know, I don't know how many times when we would have pageants at the other church, there would be 300-400 people pray to receive Christ. Well, I got to tell you, if there's 300-400 people pray to receive Christ, that church ought to have been busting out because I was there 8 years. You know, if there would have been, you know, 3,000 people, but they didn't come. Where are they? We've had people in this church pray to receive Christ. Where are they? Because they did lip service to the Lord. I don't think they meant it, but I think it was an emotional tag. But what is so important is that we have been crucified with Christ, and it means that you and I no longer live, but Christ lives in us, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Amen, amen. I mean, here, you know, I don't have a problem. I went to the hospital about 2 weeks ago. I'll share with everybody. I've been short of breath. Been really struggling over the last couple weeks again, and I've been fighting this for 10 years now. And I have really, really struggled. I have prayed. I've been anointed. You know, I did the message last week about not looking at your situation as it is, but as it's supposed to be. Got to tell you, after a while, it just kind of whoops on you, you know? So we get up this morning. Pam and I have been shopping. We've been doing a lot of stuff, you know, to buy furniture for the church. You know, our puppy dog is sick, and we had to go to the vet this morning to get medicine. So we go out to the car. I'm worried about my puppy dog. I'm not feeling very good. I put the key in the Infiniti. I start it. Click, 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 click. Click, 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 click. Okay. God gave me a old Jeep. So I got in my Jeep. And we drove ourselves to church. I got to tell you that you have to live by faith in the Son of God. I don't know why the Infiniti didn't start, except it's old, okay? It's paid for. It looks good in my driveway, you know? It's paid for. We don't owe nobody nothing on it. But the key with this is that Christ lives in us. In 1 Corinthians, it says, in the same way he took the cup. And church, y'all had that cup in your hands just a minute ago. You know, Paul and Ellie were gracious, but here's a cup. And in this cup is juice. It represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, here's where things get good for you and me. But it says this cup is the cup of a new covenant. And that covenant was made because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Now, here's where I have upset the apple cart in Baptist life, okay? That and a lot of other things, too. But here's the key. We grew up to go that unless you were a pastor or an elder or somebody of importance in church life, you couldn't offer the Lord's Supper. Well, see, that's a bunch of hogwash because it's not mine. It belongs to the Lord. And if you're going through challenges and struggles in your life today, I'm going to tell you, you go get the biggest bottle of grape juice that you can get. Get the biggest honking piece of bread that you can get. And you go home, and every day that you get up, and Pam, you and I need to start doing that. But every day that we get up, we need to take the Lord's Supper, and we need to remember the promises of our Lord. You don't need me to give you the Lord's Supper. You can take the Lord's Supper yourself, and by doing so, you do it in remembrance of all the blessings that God has given you and me. At the men's revival yesterday, we talked about the anointing. And if you and I could sit down and remember what Christ has done, the visual that I gave last week, and you cannot forget the visual, but when we live our lives, and we live our lives so messed up, you know, I joked with the guys yesterday, everybody in this room is three pickles short of a quart, okay? You're about three fries short of a Happy Meal, okay? Your elevator does not go to the top, okay? I'm just telling you, we are all messed up, okay? And the Lord knows that. But even with all of our shortcomings, he goes, Keith, come here. And he brought me in, and there's a room, that there's a table that is set just like this, and it covers 3,752 promises that my God has given to me. Amen. He comes in, and he pulls out the chair for me, and he said, Keith, I want you to sit down. And then he takes a napkin very much like this, and I'm sitting down. He takes a napkin, and he lays it in my lap. And he says, Keith, I want you to partake of all the blessings that Christ died to give to you. And he says, I want you to eat bountiful. And then when I am eating and I'm at the max of eating, then he takes the cup, the Bible says. He anoints my head with oil. He doesn't just let it, he anoints my head with oil. That cup overflows over my entire body. I am anointed from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. My cup overflows. I worship a God that is not a God of just a little, but we worship a God that is a God of more than enough for you and for me in our lives. We need to do it, church, in remembrance of him. Now, here's something else about the body and the blood. Now, he said, surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging, you and I are healed. Now, here's what Christ has done. When you sit down, and we don't sit down at the table enough, but he bore your griefs. He bore them. He took them. And that means that we ought to live by the fruits of the Spirit with love and joy and peace, and we don't. He carried our sorrows, carried them to the cross. He was pierced through, church, for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was chastened for our well-being. And he was beaten beyond recognition for our healing. When you look at all that he's done for you, how could you not serve him? Amen. When you look at all that he's done for you, how could you not be the first one in church on Sunday, the last one to leave on Sunday? When you look at all that he's done for you, how could you not do whatever God has asked you to do? Only you can answer that question. Church, a testator is a person who has made a will or given a legacy. The granting of probate is the first step in a legal process administering the estate of a deceased person, resolving all claims and distributing the deceased person's property under a will. It also says a probate court decides the legal validity of a testator's will and grants its approval. And the assets of testators are disposed of in the manner specified by the testator's will. See, everybody in this room is an heir of Christ. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are heirs of Abraham. What are the promises that God gave to Abraham? First of all, he'd make him a great nation. We have a nation that's falling apart. You can blame it on Democrats. You can blame it on Republicans or the Tea Party or the Independents or the Liberals. I blame it on you and me. I blame it on every Christian that sits in a chair in the churches today that they vote based upon what they can get versus what they can give. He also told Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you. He said, I'm going to make your name great. And he says, here's what else I'm going to do. If someone blesses you, I'm going to bless them. The other day, Pam had gone to the store, and, you know, we're not supposed to eat it, but I did. I ate some ice cream, okay? I don't drink anymore. I just eat, okay? And this guy back behind Pam says, is that all you got? And she said, yeah. So, you know, Pam said, oh, well, I thought he was going to just come up. And he says, no, I'll buy her ice cream. If I'd have known that, I got a gallon instead, you know. But the thing that was so great about it, he said, I want to pay it forward. Someone paid it for me the other day, and I want to pay it forward today. Church, you and I need to pay it forward today. And he's going to bless those who bless you. But here's the other thing that you and I need to understand. He will curse those who curse you. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And then it says all the people on the earth would be blessed by him. Do you understand that you're a blessing? Do you understand that you can go in this world today and pay it forward? Do you understand that you could bless somebody today? Do you understand that you're supposed to be a blessing to people? Sometimes we're a curse to people, but we are supposed to be a blessing to people. Why? Because we are a descendant of Abraham. 1 Corinthians 11:25 says, in the same way he took the cup. And he said, guys, I want you to understand this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do it as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, in Psalms 89:34, this is a great thing. You know, we've all had people break promises. I think sometimes they gave you lip service. I think sometimes because of life they broke it. But we have a God today that has set down. He says, my covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. You can take it to the bank that if our God said it, then you and I need to take it to the bank that it is the gospel truth. 2 Corinthians, for as many as are the promises of God, in him our only response is yes and amen. It says, therefore, through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now, church, I got to tell you, if the Bible tells you and me that God said, I will meet every need that you have in your life when things really get awry, then you and I got to go yes and amen. If our God says by the stripes of Jesus Christ you've been healed, then our response is yes and amen. He says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. You know, we took the Lord's Supper. But I'm going to do something else in just a minute. And I don't know if there's enough in here, but I think there is. But what I want us to do is that in just a minute, I want you to spend time and I want you to go to the Lord in prayer. And I want you to examine yourself. This is why. Look at Hebrews. It says, how much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled under the foot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of God's grace? We have been saved by the grace of God. But I got to tell you, every time we get upset, every time you and I get lippy, every time we do things out of anger, you and I right there deserve nothing but death. But church, I got to tell you, as we, if we do this, if we live different, then we regard the blood of Jesus as unclean. Psalms 23 again says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, death in Hebrew means darkness, says, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, Lord. Your rod, your staff, oh, they comfort me. But then you prepare a table. See, Satan does not want us to win. You know, I have never over the years that we've been in this church seen the people that are going through what they're going through today. I have never seen people in family, people, just the struggles that everybody's having. And I know that Satan is coming against this church because we're moving over there. Either we can crumble down and let him win, or you and I can rise and be the victors that God has called us to be. But he says, in the presence of our enemy. That means right now, because when we get to heaven, there's no enemies in heaven. That means right here, right now, in the presence of the enemy, our Lord has prepared a table for you and me. He has anointed our head with oil, and our cup overflows. So here's what I want you to do, and I hope that you'll see this. I want you, Pastor D, to play, but I want everybody else, even if you're in a praise team, I just want you to sit here right now. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to honestly examine yourself. I want you to think about where your life is. We've taken the Lord's Supper today. You know, I want you to understand how special you really are. I want you to know that God loves you unconditionally. I want you to know that you've been saved by God's grace. I want you to know that you're a descendant of Abraham. I want you to know that you are a child of the Most High God who candidly is living less than God's best for their life. And it's time that we take a stand. It's time that God's children rise up to be the children that God has called us to be. But it begins when you humble yourself before God. It begins when you bow your head to go, Lord, boy, I've fallen short. There are days that we ask people to come up and pray. And I got to tell you, church, if you have no prayers to offer to God, then shame on you. When you think of all what God has done for you, there should be always prayers offered up, even if it's just a prayer of praise. So I want you to examine yourself, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper one more time. But I want you to understand the difference. You take the Lord's Supper, we do it because we do it, but this time I want you to take the Lord's Supper in a manner that you understand how sacred this act is and what he's literally done for you. He took your place on the cross and did for you what you couldn't do on your own. If you want to come up to this altar to pray, you come up and pray. If you want to lay on the floor, you pray. But let's go to the Lord and go, God, it's an upper room time, and we need to pray. We need to be of one accord, because we want the Spirit to fall. Pastor D.